Okay, here we are. Okay, what I'm going to talk about, what I want to talk about tonight is the Nachash, the Choshet, but there are different aspects to it. This snake that Moshe Rabbeinu made, and he put it on a copper frame, and people looked at it, and they were cured. They were cured specifically, I think, of snake bites. We'll look at the psukim in a moment. Vayisumi horahar pasuk dalet, perikafal pasuk dalet, vayisumi horahar. Horahar is the place that Aaron died. This story is taking place at the end of the 38 years of Bnei Yisrael draying around in the desert and preparing themselves to go to Eretz Canaan, right? This is their second attempt to go to Eretz Canaan. Vayisu mehor ahar derech yam suf lisvov et Eretz Edom. And so they went actually backwards around the country of the Edomites, batiktsar nefesh ha'am badarech. And then, you know, as always happens, the people became discouraged. If we're going to Eretz Yisrael, why do we go there? Why are we going in a different direction? Why are we going backwards? So this is what Rashi adds. Rashi says, Kevan shemet Aaron. You see the first Rashi on the page? Aaron died. Ovalehem milchama zo. This was the milchama against Melech Arad in Canaan, right? They came out to fight against Bnei Yisrael, Melech Arad. Rashi said they went backwards through Yam Suf, where they actually came from, right? So who aderech shechazru lahem shenigzar lahem gzeirot miraglim. And this happened also at the beginning of the 38 years, which was after the miraglim. Remember, the miraglim went to spy out the land, and they came back, and they sort of said, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. And so their punishment was that they would start going backwards. They started their trip around the desert for 38 years by going backwards from where they were. And now they're also going backwards because they lost this battle against Melech Arad. Rashi says. So they went back. I mean, we don't have to go into this, but you know that there were 14 masa'ot in the desert during the 38 years. In the beginning of Mas'ei, the last parasha in Bamidbar, these masa'ot are listed. So they went backwards instead of going forwards. And then, Vatikzar Nefesh Ha'am Badarach, that's what it says in the Pasuk, that just being on the road frustrated everybody, and they were unhappy. They spoke against God, and they spoke against Moshe. We don't have water, we don't have bread, and we're sick and tired of eating this lechem klokel. What's the lechem klokel? If you see in Rashi Pasuk, hey, the lechem klokel, I don't know exactly what klokel means, but Rashi says, lefi shaman nivla be'evrehem kera'u klokal. In other words, since the Gemara says that the man was entirely absorbed into the body, that there was no waste. There was no waste. They never defecated what they ate. And so they called it kal. It was like lechem kal, mikul kal, that kind of a word. And therefore, amu atid aman hazeh sheyitfach b'ma'enu. So they didn't know. So what happened to the man? Where did it go? So they all thought that it was stuck somehow in their innards, and that eventually it would explode. It would kill them somehow. And klum yesh yud isha shenachmis ve'no motzi So they made a scientific statement. They said, is it possible? Is there any other creature in the world who eats but does not have waste? So obviously, we must have the waste. It's just that it's not passing. So we have the waste, it's not passing, it's going to kill us. That's what they thought. It's not such a bad analysis, but I guess that, you know, that's what really could happen. But more interesting in the beginning of the Pasuk, where they go and they speak to, so you look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Benukim of Moshe, God and Moshe Rabbeinu, Hishvu Eved Likono." So that's also a pikkurset. In other words, they compare, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was an extraordinary personality, but still, Moshe Rabbeinu is not God. How can you compare Moshe Rabbeinu to God? But that's what they did. Lama heli tunu, Rashi goes on and he says Shneim Shavim, which means that they address God and Moshe Rabbeinu in the same breath. Right? They don't have different ta'anot. They're talking to Dokudan. So that really what happened, according to Rashi, here, you know, they complained. Okay, they complained. But why were they punished so severely? What was it? You know, so it's not nice to complain. And it's not reasonable to complain to God. But what was it that God got so angry that the next pasuk, Vayishlach Hashem Behemet HaNechashim HaSrafim, Nechashim HaSrafim, from the continuation, look, Nechash means a snake. Saraf, we don't know what a saraf means. In Hebrew, saraf can mean an angel, certain kinds of angels, but here, Nechashim Serafim, it sounds like they're synonyms. Well, they both refer to the same thing. Nechash is a snake, so maybe saraf is a snake. Vayashku et ha'am, vayamot amra v'Yisrael. So they were punished. Bnei Yisrael was punished. Why were Bnei Yisrael punished, according to Rashi? Because they were apikorsim. They said something terrible about God, or that Moshe and God are the same thing. They're part of a committee of some sort. So God sent the snakes. Now, in the past, there had been a plague. God sent plagues. But why did he send snakes to bite Bnei Israel? And because the bite was poisonous, that they would die in that way. I mean, after all, every possible death is open to God. Why snakes? Why biting? Why all of this? Why all of this stuff? So Rashi says in Pasuk Vav, Nechashim Srafim, Nechashim Srafim. Right? Remember, the word saraf is a difficult word. I mean, it's not clear. So Rashi says, Sorfim et ha'adam be'eres shineihem. Sorfim. That the word saraf is like the Hebrew word lisrof, which means to burn up something. Lisrof. Sorfim et ha'adam be'eres shineihem. Eres is poison, and shineihem are their teeth or their fangs. Right, somehow the poison in the snake is connected to the bite of the snake. You know, the bite is just a bite, but somehow wherever the poison comes from, comes out either through the tooth, like a pipe in the tooth, or what? The tooth is hollow, so it's like having a pipe in the tooth, right? That's what I mean. The poison comes from someplace through the tooth, so when you bite, when the snake bites something, so it leaves the poison in the hole that it bit. So stay away from those kinds of snakes. So we now know, according to Rashi, what the word sorfim means. And then v'yinashkut ha'am v'yamot amar v'yisrael. But we still don't know. We don't know why snakes. Why couldn't they just be a plague? Which is a way of saying, I don't know why they died. They just died. That was the punishment. The punishment of heaven. Why did God have to resort to sending snakes? Vayavoha Amel Moshe. This is like Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right? Vayavoha Amel Moshe. The people, the Egyptians in that story, here the Jews. Vayavoha Amel Moshe. Vayomru Chatanu Ki dibeno v'ashem uvach. We talked about God. We talked about you. Et palel el Hashem v'yasami aleinu adanachash. Pray for us, and God will take away the snake. Et palel Moshe be'ad ha'am. Okay. Rashi is also interesting, but let's go on to Pasuk Chet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Aseh lecha saraf. So now, we have a problem. What do you mean, Aseh lecha saraf? If Rashi said that Nechashim srafim means Nechashim adjective srafim, right, who have this quality of srafim, they burn things up, right? Nechashim srafim. So what does Aseh lecha saraf mean? So it must mean Aseh lecha nachash. But if it means Aseh lecha nachash, so why did God say saraf? Why does the Torah say saraf just to confuse us and make it more difficult? V'sim oto al nes v'ayakol anashuch v'ra'a oto v'chay. What is all this? That, you know, that this is the cure, this is the medicine. Somebody comes and says, I was bitten by the snake, I feel I'm going to die. They tell them, go look at the snake on the flag, on the post. Vayas Moshe, Pasuk Tet, Vayas Moshe, Mechash Nechoshet, Vayisimeo Alnes, he put it on her, he made a flag out of it, Vayayim Neshach HaNechash Et Ish, V'hibit al Mechash Nechoshet, V'chai. A different kind of medicine. Rashi says, Rashi says about the pasuk, "Vayam Edish Ibit El Anachash." One second. Yeah, pasuk Chet. I'm sorry. "Vayom Hashem Moshe Seilcha Saraf." Remember, we had the problem of Saraf. "V'simuto Al Nes," put it up on a flag. "Vayakol Anashuch," everybody who is bitten, "V'ra'au Tov Achai." So Rashi says. Kol HaNashuch, you see, Kol HaNashuch is six lines from the bottom. Afilu Kelev, Ol Chamor, even if the snakes, by accident, started biting other animals, Noshchu, Haya Nizot, Umit Noneh, Veholech, the animals would be shaky, Ela, שנשיחת הנחש ממהרת להמית. לכן, but the poison of the snake kills quickly. לכך נאמר כאן, וראה אותו ראייה בעלמא. But all you have to do is just look at it. ראה אותו. But if you were bitten and just happened to see the snake on this copper flag, then you're cured immediately. ובנשיחת הנחש נאמר והיבית. והיה נחש ונחש את איש והיבית. That's what it says in the pasuk. It uses that other verb. והיבית, at the end of pasuk tet. והיבית אל נחש ונחושת. First it says in pasuk chet. וראה אותו. V'chai, right, that verb in Hebrew, ra'al, ra'ot, to see, and then in Pasuk Tet it says v'hibit, which means the same thing, ra'al v'hibit, but it doesn't explain the use of the different verbs in the Pasuk. Rashi says, shelo hayam imaher neshuch hanachash litrapot, that the one who was bitten did not get well easily, elim kain, mabit bo b'kavana. So in other words, Rashi says an interesting thing. V'ayakol anashuch ra'oto v'chai. Everybody who's bitten, who's everybody who's bitten, including the donkeys and the parrots, right? V'ra'oto v'chai. What's v'ra'a, according to Rashi? What's v'ra'a? V'ra'a means a cursory look. You just, like, you're passing by, and there it is, there's the nechash. You look at the nechash, you're going to be cured. But then in Pasuk Tet it says, in Nashach HaNechash Ed Ish, there's like a limit in Pasuk Tet, not anybody or anything, But a person specifically, rebit. What does rebit mean according to Rashi? Rebit means with kavona. Like you have to want God to cure you. That's called rebit. So the ra'ah means you're not a philosopher. You're not a theologian. You could be a donkey. Donkeys have never been accused of being great philosophers or theologians, right? Donkeys, a chamor is a chamor. But if the chamor is bitten by the snake, and he happened to look at the nechasha, the choshet, that he would be cured. But if a man slash woman was bitten by the snake, then the hibit, then they have to look with kavanah. What's the kavanah? And this brings us to the great mystery of the nechasha nechoshet. Rashi says, "Shelo yami mahen nashuchan hazlik rapot elokei mabit bo bekavanah." Amru rabotenu. You see that line in Rashi? It's three lines in the bottom of the Rashi. "Amru rabotenu v'chi nachash memit o mechayeh." Ela bezman shayu yisrael mistaklim klapei mala umishabim et lidam lavim shabishomayim ayu mitrapim. And this is our subject. Everybody knows that there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah compares two events. One is the battle against Amalek when Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu sat on top of a rock and he held his arms in the air. And as long as he held his arms in the air and Bnei Israel, he staklu klapei mala, they won. But when they stopped looking up at heaven, they lost. Similarly, when they look at the nechash and nechoshet b'kavanah, I mean, they're thinking about God and God curing them, then they are truly cured. But when they don't look at the nechash and nechoshet, they don't have to be cured. So of course, the question is, what do I need Moshe Rabbeinu sitting on a rock for? Why do I need a nechash nechoshet? If we would agree, as the Mishnah says, that the cure comes from God. And when does the cure come from God? When Bnei Yisrael are kind of noting that it's God, they take note of the fact that it's God, somehow they look up to heaven. So, okay, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just tell them? You want to win the war? Daven. When you have a chance, you know, you're not killing each other, say a capital killing. So what is this business of Moshe Rabbeinu sitting on a rock with his hands held in the air? V'yadav emunah, the pasuk says. They caused faith. The nechash and nechoshet caused the people to have faith. And that's what cured them. It was not that they looked at it. It was rather that they looked at heaven. So if the idea is that they, so in other words, first thing you have to say that the Mishnah, which is, you know, Chazal, looked at the Psukim and couldn't believe it. The Chazal, they say, here we are spending all our time telling everybody they should daven. And here the Psukim say, no, you have to look at the snake. Or you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's outstretched arms. I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean literally? So let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, if you see the second source, this pasuk, by the way, if you turn the page, see Shmot Perek Yud Zion, the third source. Vayakha Shayyari Moshe Yado Begavar Yisrael. Vikashi Yaniach Yado Begavar Amalek. As though Moshe Rabbeinu had some kind of weird power to be victorious. Or not to be victorious. And so what did he need the battle for? I mean, if it was all God doing it, so it seems, what are people running around and fighting against each other for? Why is there a war going on? V'yedei Moshe kveidim. V'yedei Moshe kveidim. Moshe's hands were tired. Became heavy. It was hard for him to hold his hands up. So that's what the pasuk says. That it's all about his hands. Vayasimu tachtav, vayichu evan. They took this rock, they put it under him, he sat on it. V'aron v'chut abchu b'yadav, b'zeh echad b'zeh. Echad Aaron and his brother-in-law Hur held up his arms. Now, v'yehiyu, v'yehi adav emunah ad bo ha-shemesh. And his hands caused faith ad bo ha-shemesh until the sun set. I mean, I think the words are simple and straightforward enough, but theologically they're a mystery. I mean, what are the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu got to do with the faith of the people who are fighting? And you mean if Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands down, so that's a sign that they shouldn't believe in God anymore? He puts his hands up, that they should believe in God? I mean, the whole thing doesn't make sense. And so the Mishnah says, V'chi yadav shel Moshe osot milchama. So that's the question. Can we attribute the battle to Yadav Shel Moshe? That's the question. Now, of course, the question is rhetoric, and it means we cannot attribute the battle to the hands of Moshe. The battle is the battle of the men of faith against Amalek. Elah, the Mishnah says, as much as taklim klapei pet mala, as long as they are in a faith mode, then they win. And when they are not in a faith mode, then they are going to lose. But that's not what it says in the Chumash. The Chumash gives us a different idea of what is actually happening. So let's look a little bit at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Lo ne'amar lo la'asot shel nechoshet." You see, that's to understand. How come Moshe Rabbeinu made the nechash out of copper? Because God never said to make it out of copper. God said, "Asevich ha-saraf, make a saraf," which means whatever it means, but it doesn't mean copper. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this idea? El amar Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar li nechash, ani aseh u'shel lechoshet, lashon nofel al lashon. No, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu is learning, God said to me, nechash, how do you make a nechash? Well, nechash and nechoshet look like the same word. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make it like there was a hidden tzivui in the tzivui. Even though God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make a nechash, a saraf, a nechash, Moshe Rabbeinu took that to mean out of copper. Because it's sort of hinted. It's hinted in the word nechash. That's what the Ramban says in the Zelishon. Rashi quotes Rashi, Midib Rabbi Tainu. The law having not he said, Sharia Kodesh Boholoski lo nechash, and asked the Chasarav, after all, God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. God never said the word nechash. And God never said the word nechash, but he said a different word, saraf. How can you make a drasha that says that God meant copper? Where did copper come from? Avodatam lomar ki alach Moshe achar shem ha'etzem asher lo. That even though God said saraf, Moshe Rabbeinu immediately translated it into his own language. And what was his language? Nachash. Saraf became nachash. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, what about nachash? Maybe I'll make it out of nechoshet. V'ane ebe einai b'soda davaze. כי הוא בדרכי התורה שכל מעשיה נס בתוך נס. He says there is some kind of principle that exists in the Torah that's called nes bitoch nes. A miracle in a miracle. What's a miracle in a miracle? Hesir anezek b'mazik v'terpa ha'chole b'machlayo. In other words, not only is the damage Tasir ha-nezek ba-mazik v'tirpa-achole b'machlaya. It was that the mazik, the one who does the damage, gets his comeuppance, and the one who was damaged is cured. So that's called nes b'toch nes, tunisim. Tunisim about the same topic. Moshe is giru v'yorehu Hashem eitz v'chi. The Melech Elisha the Mayim, And then, this is what is a side point of interest, but it's interesting nonetheless. He says that if you study medicine, darchei harefuot, that's medicine, shekol mishuchei ba'aleha eres yistaknu bir'otam otam. That if a snake bites you, and you live through it somehow, but then later on, if you see a snake just slithering around in the grass, that will cause you physical damage. Not because the snake doesn't have to bite you. It's just there. If you look at a snake after you've been bitten by a snake, then that look will cause you damage. And then he says, Ad ki mishuchei ha-kelev ha-shoteh, v'chein kshar ha-behemot ha-shotot. He says, all these animals that wander around, mishuchei, they're bitten. Shar behemot ha-shotot. Im yabitu b'mayim, yir'e lahem sham tavu'at ha-kelev, o ha-mazik, v'yamutu. And they'll see the figure of a mad dog, right, a rabid dog, or the snake. They will die just from looking at that. Shekol nishuchei ba'al ha'eres yistaknu bir'otam otam, ad ki nishuchei ha'kelev, etc. Ve'el ha'em sham, ba'luat ha'kelev, ba'zik v'yamutu. Kemo shekatu b'sifrei ha'refu'ot. And this is regular accepted medical evidence. And that's what he calls a nes b'toch hanes. Why? Umuskar b'gmara, v'chein yishmeru otam arofim yaskir b'fnehem shem hanoshech. So everybody knows that it's good medical practice that when somebody comes to you and says, I was bitten by a rabid dog, you don't mention that in the rest of the consultation. You don't say dog. You don't say a mad dog. That's like good medical practice. Shelo yizkiru otam klal, ki nafsham tidbak b'machshava ha'hi, v'lo tibareg b'mena klal ad shetamit otam. Because somehow, a person who was bitten by a rabid dog, once he gets that dog into his mind, it will destroy him. I don't know if this is good or bad psychology, but that's what the Ramban is talking about, and that's why he calls it a nes b'toch nes. Utvar hizkiru davar menuseh miplaot ha-tolata. He says this. We've mentioned this wondrous thing. Akelav ha-shoteh achrei she-nishtateh b'chol yor im yikubal ha-shetin shelo b'kli zruchit. Yireh b'sheken demut b'rei klavim ktanim. V'im t'avir ha-mayim b'matlitu t'saninem lo t'imtza b'hem shum rosh ha-glav. You take this mad dog and you collect its urine, and you look in the urine, you'll see that there's a figure of a dog in the urine. But then if you put it into a misanein, a filter, you filter it out somehow, then you're not going to find anything. You won't find anything. V'shetasireim l'kleach z'chulchit v'yishteyu sham k'sha'a tachzor v'tirem sham k'ri'a klavim m'to'arim. So then if you leave it again in a glass dish, you'll see the figure of the klavim, of the dogs. V'zeh emet hu b'pil'ei kochot ha'nefesh. And this is one of the wonders of kochot ha'nefesh of psychology. Sheyeko kol zeh kach. Ra'ui haya li'Yisrael v'shuchei nechashim ha'srafim. Shelo yir'u nechash. V'lo yizkiru. V'lo ya'lu alev klal. V'tzira kodesh boch l'moshe. La'asot lem d'mut saraf. Hu ha'meimit otah. So you see the Ramban, he's talking about faith, that the punishment that Bnei Yisrael received was a punishment that should return them to the faithful and remove them from being faithless. How so? Because everybody knows that if you are bitten by a snake, then what you don't want to do is look at a snake. Because if you look at a snake, it's the double whammy. You're not only going to be harmed by the bite, the snake that bit you, but you're going to be psychologically impaired by the fact that you looked at a picture of the snake. That's conventional medicine. That sort of is medicine that is out of the hands of the Ribbono Shel. That even if God is determined to save you, you're not going to be saved if you look at a figure of a snake. That's what the Ramban says. And therefore, in order to restore the faith that Am Yisrael is supposed to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was not just the punishment, but that it was the cure, because here God was doing something which obviously negated the accepted understanding of things. And that understanding was that if you look at a snake, after you're bitten by a snake, the result is very bad. The result is very bad. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, make a saraf. What's a saraf? According to Rashi, a saraf is the result of the poison. It burns you up, right? That's the saraf. According to the Ramban, right, the saraf is what would burn you up, conventionally. If you were bitten by a snake and then you go and look at a snake, that's terrible. That's a saraf. That's the end of things. So the Ramban comes up with this interesting theory that faith, based on the idea that faith overwhelms medicine. Right? And this is an issue. This is not the issue that I'm talking about tonight, but everybody knows that there's an issue. Because the Ramban says at the end of Vayikra, the Ramban himself, that if we live the way we're supposed to live, I'm not talking about going to Eden Teva Market. If we lived, did mitzvot, and made all the brachot that we're supposed to make, and lived the kind of life the Torah wants us to live, then the Ramban says, without a doubt, we would all be healthy. We'd all be healthy. I wouldn't have to go to doctors. And the reason that we have to go to doctors today, at the time of the Ramban, also the Ramban was a doctor. The reason you have to go to doctors is that since we don't live that way, so we're prone to all kinds of illnesses. And the Torah allowed the doctors to treat the miserable Jews who got sick because they lived in the way that they lived. That's the theory. That's the theory of the Ramban. But that doesn't enhance faith. Faith means that you trust God. And medicine means that you trust the doctors. It certainly doesn't necessarily enhance faith. However, the Ramban said that the Nechash and Nechoshet, from anybody who knew medicine, clearly had his faith enhanced. Because it's like giving a person who's sick poison and wondering why he gets even sicker. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us poison, but we got better. And so we understood that the rules of medicine don't work when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decide that this will happen, decide that that will happen. Doesn't make any difference. But we don't live in that world. That's what the Ramban said. That's the world we might have lived in. We could have lived in, but we don't live in that world. Since we don't live in that world, the Torah says, rapa or yirape, you can go to the doctors, and the doctors can try to cure you. So this is the position of the Ramban, that we're talking about a nes b'toch nes, and the nes b'toch nes is that ordinarily you would expect looking at a snake to be counterindicated. But here, to prove that it was a salvation that came from God and not from Moshe Rabbeinu, which, if I continue the thought of Rashi, breaks apart the comparison that they made, this apikorsis between God and Moshe Rabbeinu, that they are the same. Here we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing what God told him to do, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is curing Bnei Yisrael and none other. In order to kind of finish with another idea, which I think is a good idea, I want to look at this paragraph at the bottom of the second page from the Likutei Halachot. This is Rav Nosson. וזהו בחינת וישמע כנעני מלך ערד, שהוא המלאק, right, the king of Arad heard that Aaron Akohen had died, שמע שמת Aaron, והסתלקו ענני הכבוד, ובא להילחם בישראל, he figured that without ענני הכבוד, we had no protection. And he knew that Bnei Yisrael were coming to Eretz Canaan, and if you know where Arad is today, you know, it's very close to, like you cross the Jordan River, you're in Arad. כמו שאמרו אבותינו ז"ל, כי עיקר מלחמת עמלק ומחלושי כוח שבישראל, שהיה ענן פולטן, בבחינת ויזנה בך כל הנפש שלך. That's true, Amalek always fought against the weak, the ones who could not be contained in Bnei Yisrael, and who were kind of spit out by the ענן. The ענן protected those who were worthy of protection, but there were always those who couldn't hack it inside, or be part of the group. Okay, now I'm at the end of the third line. Tzadik haro'eh amiti. Tzadik, and these are for chassidim, these are words pregnant with meaning. Like, when Litvaks say tzadik, they mean somebody who doesn't talk too much. But when the Hasidim say tzaddik, they mean somebody who's running the world, right? You know, whose tefillot are very important and whose deot are very important. That's a difference. I mean, no one talked about the Chofetz Chaim in those terms when he was alive. Chofetz Chaim was a very important person, but he wasn't seen like he was running the world exactly, you know, by davening. Even though, like, after he died, some people would attribute that to him. But for the Hasidim, the word tzaddik means that. And then he says, haro'eh ha'amiti. Haro'eh is a shepherd, the true shepherd. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chinat Moshe. So there's a person in the world who is under God, but very determining the course of history of the Jewish people, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Ro'en Ne'eman. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Tzaddik. These are his weapons that he uses to protect Bnei Yisrael. And the rebellion, the justification for having rebellion in our lives, was that they fulfilled this purpose in every generation. Rav Nachman of Bratslav, his Rebbe, Rav Nosson's Rebbe, was the one who said that not every Rebbe is the same as every other Rebbe. In other words, he demanded that the Hasidim be choosing. By the time he was the grandson of the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov had a daughter. Her name was Udel. Her grandson was Nachman of Bratslav. That means it wasn't so far away from the beginning. But by that time, the Maggid of Mezritch had many Talmidim, and he sent them all over. And then after that, there was no way to control. Everybody wanted his son to be the Rebbe. And there was no way to control the quality. Right? Quality controlled, not in every case, but there were cases where the quality control was dubious. And so Rav Nachman said, yeah, there are tzaddikim in the world. He was referring to himself, of course. But you have to be very careful. Now, the interesting thing is that in his own lifetime, apparently no one paid attention. No one. I mean, he had a handful of Talmidim. And so he died in the beginning of the middle of the 18th century. Right? So it took 200 years for the business that's called Bratslav to develop. And in our times, there are a lot of Bratslav Hasidim. There's so many of them that they can fight with each other. In other words, you have to have a critical mass in order to go and fight. Otherwise, no one's interested, so they fight with each other all the time. The different groups of Bratslav Hasidim. But it's interesting that this idea that Rav Nachman was somebody different than everybody else, and that he was able to think differently than everybody else, and that was noteworthy. It took 200 years for that to take hold and become a reality in our times. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so this is the war against Amalek. Ulach nisam, ulasfam, v'toch ha-kibbutz ha-kadosh ha-bekubatzim, v'toch ha-ananei kavod. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was grabbing the Jews back into ananei kavod, would not agree to let them be dispersed, right, outside of the ananei kavod. Shehem bechinat suka uchemava bazora kadosh sham parashat vayishmatzna niza liyan suka yein sham. And this is the comparison. Remember, there's a machloket in the Gemara about the suka, whether the suka is mamash or the suka is ananei kavod. Remember, whether the suka we build on the mitzvah of suka is because the Jews sat in physical sukkot, or because the Jews sat in Anani HaKavod. Right, so what's Anani HaKavod? That's the protection of Bnei Yisrael. What's Amalek? Amalek is the one who sniped away at the edges, the people who were not able to be contained in the Anani HaKavod. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who pulled them back into Ki Moshe HaGoreh HaMiti. I'm in the sixth line, in the middle. Moshe HaRoeh Amiti Chozer Mamshich Ananei Kavod Afilu Lachar Stakdut Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu kept doing it. It was as far, even though Aaron HaKohen was responsible for the Ananei HaKavod, even though we say that after Aaron HaKohen died, the Ananei HaKavod disappeared. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu acted as though they were still there. Ki Be'er Anan Uman Kulam Chazru b'sfut Moshe k'Moshe Rabbeinu z'chol avrecha. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu then became the kind of the one who created the Be'er, the well, the Anan, the clouds, Anani HaKavod, and the man. But all depended on Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now we're up to us. You are you with me? First word on the line, about the eighth line. Al Kain. Asaz nachash nechoshet, v'yav nashacha nachashet ish, v'ibit al nachash nechoshet v'chai, v'abru alotenu zichronal v'cha, v'chei nachash v'ibit al nachayet, nachachomim already asked the question, what is the nachash, what's it got to do with life and death? He says, Ella, bizman chi yisrem estakul kapei malo, ayum mitrapim, v'imlav ayum nimokim, but if the Jews look up to heaven, they're cured, and if not, they rot away, zeh bechinat. And this is the word that Rav Nosson uses, Bechinat Rimazim. Rimazim. So I'm going to tell you what a remez is, a hint. Right, a hint. So, a hint, remez. There's pshat, remez, sod, right? Remez means, it's not clear in the pasuk. But if you like, try, you can see, you could get a hint to something. So Rav Nachman had this idea. First of all, you're Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had this idea that everything is a matter of faith. Faith is what we call emunah. Everything is a matter of faith. Nothing has anything to do with seichel. In other words, there's no way that a person can seichel himself into faith. That was what Rav Nachman thought. That there's always someone who can come along and ask a question that you don't know the answer to. Because you never get to the point with seichel that you're totally covered, that everything is in place. And so he said, Rav Nachman Abraduvad, Rav Nachman Abraduvad, Rav Nachman said that the way that you get yourself through the difficult times, through the Chalala Panui, through that great vast emptiness in which God does not make himself apparent, until you don't know where God is, that's the Chalala Panui, the great empty space. So Rav Nachman Abraduvad says, Lo lefached means faith will get you through. In other words, it's true that you can get stuck in a question. It's true that a person can become obsessed with something that is not some knot that is not tied, some piece of the Lego which is not in place. There are people like that. He says, but when it comes to God, there's no way to get all the pieces in the right place. There's no way that we can cure ourselves of a certain kind of skepticism when we hear a question from a clever questioner. And he said, faith, and that's why the Rav Nachman didn't like the Moreh Nevuchim and didn't like the Rambam, because the Rambam gave the impression that it was possible to have a theology, that everything should fit in, that it should all make sense, and that God would be God. And Rav Nachman said, that's not the way it works. The way it works is that we are all dependent on faith. Faith means, because we believe strongly, we can ignore the question. If we understand that there are people who are smarter than we are, there are people who ask good questions that we can't answer. But once you are truly a faith person, it doesn't make that much difference, because you're confident that there's an answer. Okay, so you don't know the answer. I mean, Asma, what difference does it make? If you know, like if somebody has a conversation with God, and then you go to some philosophy school, at the philosophy school they prove that there cannot be such a thing as God, would that affect you? I mean, your own experience, of course, takes precedence, right? That's the phenomenology of faith. You can't argue with a person who, like if somebody goes up to heaven, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, learned the Torah, and came down. So you can say to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no God? I mean, would that have any effect on Moshe Rabbeinu? Certainly not. So then, what if you give a reasoned argument? Well, it's also in that, maybe. That's the story of Korach to a certain extent. Now, what did Rav Nosson say? Rav Nosson says, that static definition of things, you're either a man of faith, woman of faith, or not, right? You're either this or that, does not really address the reality. He says, what's the reality? Rav Nosson says, the reality is that people of faith sometimes waver in their faith. And so if you're like the person who have faith and you daven three times a day, and you go to some fancy restaurant, and you eat a steak that's an inch and a half thick, right? Medium to well, right? Like a Jew, you know? It's a little destructive to the steak, but the Jews don't like to eat blood. So they always tell him medium to well, right? Hoping that the guy will keep it more medium than well. So when you're eating a steak, you might at that moment not be exactly a man of faith. In other words, what do you mean you're a man of faith? It means like when you have to get up in the morning to go to shul, so you get up and go to shul. I mean, I'm taking examples from men because they're closer to my heart. But that's what faith is. You do things. But what about in between? What about in between doing things? What about eating breakfast? What about going on a trip? What about whatever you do in your life? You're not always the same. So you become a discontinuous faith function. Sometimes more and sometimes less. And so Rav Nosson says, Rav Nachman says, you always need remazim. You need things to remind you of what you really are, especially in tense situations. So when B'nai Yisrael went to fight against Amalek, that was a tense moment. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, listen, if you have faith, you're going to win. If you don't have faith, you're not going to win. But the people, like when you're involved in sticking swords into Amalekites and stepping over the dead bodies or riding on a horse or whatever, so your ability to focus on the faith in you is diminished. And so what did B'nai Israel need? They needed a remez. They needed something that would keep reminding them in the difficult times of who they really were. It wasn't that they were looking at the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, oh, that's the cure. But they knew what the cure was. And the cure was the faith that they were instructed to have by Moshe Rabbeinu. The same thing is true. The same thing is true about the snakes on the copper flag that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Here the Rav Nosson doesn't say it. But I think if you add in the words of the Ramban, that everybody knew that if you look at a snake, after you're bitten by a snake, that's a kind of a double whammy. You're not just sick, you're going to be very sick. Right? So the people looked up at the snake and they said, no, the faith is strong and it's working and the cure is going to come. So they understood. And that's called, Rav Nosson says is called a remes. That's called a remes, something that induces you to be the way you are. How are you? You're a person of faith. But right now you're busy. Right? You're doing something else. You're thinking about something else. You're solving a problem. You're coming with your ambulance to pick up a person who was in an accident. So you're focused on that. That's who you are at that moment. You need the remez to bring out the other you. And the other you is the person who is filled with faith and looks towards God for salvation. So I think that these various ideas might be usable. You might be able to put them together in order to understand a little bit more about the Nachash and the Choshet. Remember Rashi said that there was this matter of Apikorset, that they equated God and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rav Nosson is the one who puts Moshe Rabbeinu in the proper perspective. And the proper perspective is that that Moshe Rabbeinu had this capacity to produce rimazim, to produce hints about where the faith of Am Yisrael is actually located. So, have a good Shabbos. I imagine that some people went to hear, let me just...